Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Surreal Quinn, taking you for the next 90 minutes as we discuss the world of sports. As always, 347-215-6180 is your call number. For my Blog Talk Radio audience, I'm on the chat line currently, so certainly hit me up with any questions or comments. Always follow me. You can follow me at twitter.com/WilliamJuro. Again, today we are going 90 minutes as we have a ton of stuff to talk about. A lot going on in the world of sports. NFL free agency is at a fever pitch right now, and that's where we are going to begin with one Nnamdi Asomugha, who came into this free agency as being the number one player. I mean, it is not that often that you see a player of this magnitude in the prime of his career after playing quarterback be available. Normally, guys like that are locked up. But of course, he played for the Raiders, and they're the Raiders. I mean, not to rehash that story about how they allowed him to become a free agent. But Asomugha ends up with the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles come out of nowhere to basically steal him from the Jets and the Cowboys. And to me, listen. You can say what you want about the Philadelphia Eagles. You can talk about the fact that they're 1-4 in the NFC Championship games. I got into it yesterday over Facebook with a Giant fan who has a little bit of hateration, because of the Eagles making a move, claiming the Eagles hadn't won a Super Bowl and so on and so on. But the bottom line is, listen, this is what happens when you manage your salary cap, when you don't go out there and sign every free agent year in and year out, and when you draft and develop players. It puts you in a position to make a move like this. Eagles are under the cap. They've always managed their salary cap as well as anybody in the league. And, you look at their position, it puts them in a position to go out there and get a guy who many consider to be, at worst, the second best quarterback in the league. I'll say this about Asomugha. Asomugha is every bit as good. He is every bit as good as Darrell Revis. Now, I would take Revis because Revis is 3 years younger. But as far as skill set, I mean, nobody throws against this guy. In the last 4 years, he's been targeted 92 times. Put that in perspective. 16-game seasons, 4 years, he's been thrown at 92 times. Okay? Now, he only had 3 interceptions. Nobody throws the ball in his direction. So you are getting a lockdown quarterback. 30 years old, okay, he's still in his prime. And listen, he was All-Pro last year. And it's clear that the Eagles want to win and win right now. They sign him. They make the trade for Rogers Cromartie with the Kevin Cobb deal. And they still have Asante Samuel. They still have Asante Samuel in the mix. Now, there's no guarantee that Asante Samuel will be an Eagle this year. There have been some rumblings, about him possibly being moved. It's not, of course, nothing has happened as of yet. But again, do not be surprised if Asante Samuel is not a Philadelphia Eagle come September. And this is what the Eagles do. I mean, if you're an Eagles fan, you remember this oh so well in terms of them replacing cornerbacks. They did the same thing back in 2003, 2004, when they replaced Troy Brown, uh, Tr- Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor with Lito Shepherd and Sheldon Brown. And they were able to do that because they drafted both Lito Shepherd and Sheldon Brown were drafted. They were developed. Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent were getting old, and they moved on. At worst, and this is today's poll question: who is the team to beat in the AFC? Is it the Eagles with the moves that they made, or is it still the Green Bay Packers? Don't forget, the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl with a number of players that were injured last season and didn't even play. I mean, Jermichael Finley is an All-Pro caliber tight end, didn't even play the last 12 or 13 games of this season. So don't forget about the Green Bay Packers. But those two teams are clearly, and I mean clearly, the class in the NFC. There's no question about it. Again, the Eagles join a list of about five or six teams that can absolutely win a Super Bowl. I mean, there's no getting around it. There's no getting around it, and they're going for it right now. The question is, you know, also that it comes out of this is, to me, who has the most pressure on them? If you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, now I pose this to you, to all the Philadelphia Eagles fans, who do you think has more pressure, Andy Reid or Michael Vick? I'm going to answer that later on in the program because I think it's a very fascinating debate. But, again, the Eagles get Nnamdi Asamoah 5 years, $60 million, $25 million guaranteed. They also signed Jason Babin, who had a great year coming out of Tennessee last year, and, of course, got the second-round pick in Dom Rogers and Cromartie from the Arizona Cardinals. Not a bad week if you're a Philadelphia Eagles fan, to say the least. We're just getting started here on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, 347-215-6180. When we return, we'll have Saturday Morning Headlines, and we'll go through the quarterback moves amongst free agency. We'll talk about the hits and misses, and one quarterback still is with his team. Why? I don't know. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn. As always, the number is 347-215-6180. Saturday Morning Headlines: Peyton Manning has said that he is willing to take less money in order for Indianapolis to sign some free agents, in particular some of their own, and also add to their team as well. Says it's not that important for him to, you know, be the highest paid player, you know, in the NFL. Of course, Manning, there were some thoughts that Manning would receive a contract that would pay him in excess of $20 million a year that would exceed the Tom Brady contract. Listen, all they have to do, I mean, they can give him his money. All they have to do is backload the contract, you know, they could be paying him until 2050 if they want to. So, I mean, he's going to get his money. But I think Manning's a smart guy. He's made a ton of money. He's a guy, somebody who cares about his legacy and realizes that, you know, in order for him to have a chance to go down as the greatest quarterback of all time, he's going to have to win more than one Super Bowl. That's all there is to it. He saw what Brady did a few years ago when Brady took that, basically took a hometown discount with the New England Patriots, and that allowed the New England Patriots to go out there and keep and sign other players to continue to be Super Bowl contenders for the upcoming years. So this move does not shock me in the least bit. Expect this contract to get done before the end of training camp. They will not go into a regular season with this hanging over this cloud hanging over the Colts' head. I can guarantee you that. James Harrison has apologized to the commissioner and teammates for comments that he made, of course, in that Men's Journal article that came out the August issue of the Men's Journal. Of course, I mean, you remember some of the comments. We were calling the commissioner a crook, stating that he hated the commissioner. And he basically, listen, if you're James Harrison, you basically had no choice. You can't come at the commissioner in the way that he came at the commissioner. Again, I still think Harrison is going to be a target. I still think he's going to be a target. Roger Goodell does not have a short memory. If you don't think Roger Goodell is going to hold that against James Harrison, think again. I mean, you just don't say some of the things that you said without there being any consequences to what was said by Harrison. Harrison, the thing that you didn't like about Harrison's apology was the fact that he said that the comments that he made about his teammates were taken out of context. The taken out of context statement is one of the most annoying statements that in sports that I hear after an athlete has said something stupid. You were directly quoted. How was it taken out of context? You criticized Ben Roethlisberger for throwing the two interceptions. You criticized Rashad Mendenhall for fumbling the football. Those comments were clear cut. And then, when the Steelers reported the training camp, Harrison didn't even address the team. To apologize to the team. Said he felt like there wasn't any need to discuss it. But he does apologize to the commissioner, and that, considering what he said to the commissioner, that was the most important thing for him in terms of what he said to the commissioner. Tiger Woods will be in the Bridgestone Classic, the WGC Bridgestone Classic. He's won the tournament 7 out of 11 times. You know what Tiger Woods is like right now? He's like Tom Cruise's character in Up in the Sky. He doesn't know which way is up. All of a sudden now he's healthy. He says he's feeling fine. But again, even let's say physically he's fine. Mentally, there's no way he can tell me that mentally Tiger Woods is there right now. And you get the sense that Woods is trying to prove something coming off the firing of his caddy with this move. His agent also came out and said that he will more than likely be, depending on what happens at the WGC Bridgestone, that Woods would likely participate in next month's PGA Championship. again, with Woods right now, toss out the fact that he's had enormous success in the PGA Championship in the past. But, you can basically toss that out with where he's standing, with where he's at right now. And this past week, for the first time, basically in 14, 15 years, Woods dropped out of the top 20 in terms of the world rankings. Those are your Saturday morning headlines. Coming up, we will break down the free agent moves at the quarterback position. Some teams got richer. Some other teams are still on the run, or still on the prowl for a quarterback. And then I'll tell you about one quarterback who has a job but should be with another team. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. After the 10 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, special 90-minute edition, as we will take you to 12 o'clock. Cyril Quinn, call number as always, 347-215-6180. If you missed it earlier, the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call poll question of the day is, who is the team to beat in the NFC? Does the Nnamdi Asamoah move put the Eagles over the top, or do the Packers, with the return of many of their injured players coming off a Super Bowl championship year, are they still the kings of the hill? We'll certainly find out over the course of the season, and I will answer that question later on in the program. But that is the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call poll question of the morning. There were a lot of moves in regards to the free agent quarterbacks this week. We're going to begin with the Kevin Cobb trade to Arizona. And the question you have to ask yourself, if you are an Arizona fan, because it was an absolute no-brainer for the Philadelphia Eagles, is Kevin Cobb worth everything that Arizona gave up to get him? Because you think about it, this is a guy who has made 7 career starts. Last year he was 2-3 in the starts that he made. I understand he had a couple of 300-yard passing games in the 2009 season. Eagles obviously liked him a lot, drafted him with a second-round pick, and he was going. Cobb was the future. Cobb was the future of the Eagles team. before the emergence, of course, of one Michael Vick last season, you know, Cobb gets hurt. Vick, you know, Vick has an MVP caliber season, and then all of a sudden now Cobb is, you know, on the trading block. But again, Arizona giving up a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback in Rodgers Cromartie, giving up a second round pick and signing Kevin Cobb for, you know, $21 million guaranteed, 5 years, you know, $63 million. Was he worth it? Is he worth that, considering his body at work? Certainly, Cobb is not the first quarterback to have a flash of brilliance. And I'm not even saying he had a flash of brilliance, to have a couple good games and get rich off of it. But this is, I mean, considering some of the other guys like Scott Mitchell or Matt Schaub or Matt Castle, even those guys had about a year's worth of a body of work. I mean, Scott Mitchell had a great last 9 games for Miami before being given all that money by Detroit. You know, Matt Schaub had been in a number of games as a backup for years behind Michael Vick. And Matt Castle, you know, helped New England go 11-5 with Tom Brady being injured after the 2008 season. I mean, to me, there's no in-between with Kevin Cobb. He's either going to be, you know, a Matt Schaub caliber quarterback, or maybe better, or he's going to be Scott Mitchell. And if you're Arizona, I just don't. There was just not enough of a body of work for me to give up that kind of compensation. A red flag to me, if I'm Arizona, would have been the fact that the Eagles did not keep Kevin Kyle and trade Michael Vick. And don't tell me you could not have traded Michael Vick with all the teams that needed a quarterback. I mean, Cobb is younger. They drafted Cobb. There are three things that you don't do in the NFL in terms of dealing with these particular teams. You don't make a trade with Andy Reid and the Eagles. You don't pick up a veteran defense player that has been cut by the Pittsburgh Steelers. And you don't make a trade with the New England Patriots. Those are three. If there are three, say, commandments of the NFL, those are three things that you don't do when it comes to making transactions within the NFL. Because it just does not work out. Look what the Eagles have done over the last year in terms of their quarterback situation. They turned Donovan McNabb into a second-round pick. They turned Kevin Cobb into a second-round pick and a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback. They pick up Michael Vick. And now they went and added Vince Young. So they pick up an All-Pro caliber quarterback in terms of the type of year Michael Vick had, a former Pro Bowl quarterback in terms of Vince Young as a backup, 2 second-round picks, and a starting quarterback, again, a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback. I'm not making a move with the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm sorry. Especially if I'm in the division. I mean, it's just not happening. And again, all the pressure now is on Wizard Hunt, who wanted this move to go out there and produce, to go out there and have Cobb produce. Cobb has weapons out there. I mean, mean, they have weapons with Fitzgerald. You wonder if, you know, they lost Steve Breslin, but they, you know, there's still some receivers out there on the market. You had a big trade in terms of quarterbacks. You had Donovan McNabb going to Minnesota. The Redskins finally ended that saga and moving on. But we'll get to that later. McNabb going to Minnesota in exchange for a six-round pick and a conditional six-round pick. This will show you how far McNabb's stock has fallen. He was, you know, Redskins traded a second-round pick for him, you know, last 2010, and now accept a six-round pick for him in this year, this particular season. All in just 1 year. This sounded like a good move until you found out that it was Cindy Rice, that Cindy Rice went to the Seattle Seahawks. Now, who is Minnesota's number one receiver? You know, Percy Harvin, Asante Shenko. I mean, Minnesota has to go out there and get a receiver. Still, I mean, there's still a lot of time left. There's still some receivers out there on the market. I mean, you still have Braylon Edwards, you still have Randy Moss. But to me, this deal, you know, it's definitely an upgrade for Minnesota from where, you know, they obviously you can't start Christian Ponder. They rid themselves of Tavares Jackson. We're gonna find out this season about who really was who is right as far as the Don McNabb, Mike Shanahan, Kyle Shanahan ordeal. McNabb goes out there in Minnesota, has a great year, then we'll know where to point your finger. But if he goes out there and sticks up the joint with the amount of talent that he does have around him, so still has Adrian Peterson, still has a pretty good defense, offensive line, Shanko's an above-average tight end, I'm sure they're going to get another wide receiver. Again, we're going to find out about McNabb, how much gas that McNabb has left in the tank. But Minnesota needs another receiver, or maybe two. Just to be on the safe side. McNabb, again, the one thing, McNabb is no longer at the point of his career where he can carry an offense. I will say that. And I understand that he was not in the best of situations with the Washington Redskins. I totally get it. But, again, a move that if you're the Minnesota Vikings, you absolutely almost had to make. Tavares Jackson goes to Seattle. I don't understand this move to save my life from a Seattle Seahawks perspective. I understand the coordinator knew Tavares, is familiar with Tavares Jackson, which should have made him, you know, run away and hide from Tavares Jackson when free agency opened. I mean, you know this guy's weaknesses. I don't get what Tavares Jackson has done to date in the NFL that would make any team want to make him their starting quarterback. He's a perfect backup, a guy that can come in two or three games, you know, run your offense, hand the ball off, make some safe throws, you know, run for a couple first downs, and that's it. You don't give Tavares Jackson the keys to the car. That's all there is to it. Tavares Jackson had a 3 years ago when Minnesota's offensive defensive lines were younger, you know, had the best running back in football, had dominant offensive defensive lines, and couldn't get past the first round of the playoffs at home with a home game. I should tell you all you need to know about Tavares Jackson. Again, I don't understand how you let Matt Hasselbeck go for Tavares Jackson. Tavares Jackson was not the only option. I mean, you had other guys that were out there, but if you were not confident in signing somebody else, re-sign Matt Hasselbeck. You have to get Hasselbeck a ton of money. use Matt Hasselbeck as a stopgap if you want to go out there and draft a quarterback. Speaking of Matt Hasselbeck, he goes to the Tennessee Titans. Great move for Tennessee. I think Hasselbeck still has some gas left in the tank, as you saw in the playoffs last year against the Saints. He will have one of the better offensive lines in the AFC to play behind. Chris Johnson, I know Chris Johnson right now is a holdout, but I expect that situation will get worked out. Chris Johnson, arguably one of the best running back in football, if not at worst the second best. I expect Hasselbeck to have a good, very good year with Tennessee. You know, Hasselbeck is a guy that, again, you know, is coming towards the end of the road. We all know this, but still has a good year or two left in him. And we've seen veteran quarterbacks, you know, Rich Gannon's, Jeff Garcia's, have success late in their careers. So Randall Cunningham, you know, when he was in Minnesota, Warren Moon is not unprecedented for a quarterback, you know, who's 35 and older to have to be able to still play in this league. And I'm shocked that not more people went after Hasselbeck, because there are still a ton of teams that need quarterbacks. As far as the Kyle Orton situation, Kyle Orton is still a member of the Denver Broncos. He was in training camp. This is not a good situation for Denver, because basically you have, you know, in many ways given Tim Tebow have turned the page over to Tim Tebow, but yet you still have Kyle Orton, you know, on the roster, and still have Kyle Orton in training camp. Kyle Orton should be starting for Denver. And there's no way that Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow are competing against each other in training camp that Kyle Orton doesn't come out on top. That's one of the main major reasons why I thought that Kyle Orton would be gone from the Denver Broncos, because the Denver Broncos know Kyle Orton is still the better quarterback, but they wanted to turn the page and, you know, get into the Tim Tebow era. But apparently, a third round pick is not enough for the Miami Dolphins, which is baffling to me. I mean, if you're Miami, Kyle Orton has thrown 41 touchdowns in the last 2 years. I mean, he's not a bargain basement. You're not getting him for a bargain basement price. He's going to make $8.8 million this year, and be a free agent in 2012. You know what? Sign him to a 2-year extension. I don't get what Miami's doing right now. Miami, they go out there, turn down the deal, turn down the Kyle Orton deal, not wanting to give up the third round pick, and they sign Matt Moore. And that doesn't make much sense to me. If I'm a Miami fan right now, I'm not happy at all. You know, a third-round pick for a guy that's put up the kind of numbers that Orton has put up in the last 2 years, that's about right. I mean, that's about fair compensation. For a starting quarterback who's thrown 41 touchdown passes in 2 years. And again, on the flip side, this is a problem for the Denver Broncos as well. Because now, you know, every day you go to training camp, it's going to be whose team is it? Kyle Orton, is it Tim Tebow's? Tim Kyle. For a team coming off a terrible year, this is not the kind of situation that if you're John Fox, that you want going into your first year coaching the Denver Broncos. you know, I keep hearing the knocks on Kyle Orton. Well, he's not great in third down, you know, on third down. Well, you know, when it's 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 10, I don't know how many quarterbacks are successful when it's 3rd and long. You know, Denver Broncos didn't have a running game last year. They're the bottom half of the league in terms of their rushing attack. You know, there are guys who just get, you know, for some reason, everybody looks for an excuse to pick at them or to pick apart their game. Kyle Orton is probably number one on that list as far as quarterbacks goes in the NFL. Well, he doesn't do this. He can't do that. Even when he was with Chicago in that Super Bowl season, you know, he led them. He helped lead them to to getting the best record in the AFC that particular season, their home field advantage. Yet it was Rex Grossman who they benched him for, and you know, look what happened to Rex Grossman since that time versus Kyle Orton. Is there any question now who's the better quarterback out of those two? Vince Young, of course, is in our message earlier. Vince Young signed with the Philadelphia Eagles, 1-year contract as a backup. It is a perfect situation for Vince Young. I mean, Vince Young right now, and I was talking to a friend of mine who asked me if I would I have wanted Vince Young on as a Washington Redskins. And Vince Young, certainly from a talent standpoint, would have been better than any option the Redskins have a quarterback right now. But I told him no, because the Redskins to me are not a stable of enough organization to carry a player like Vince Young. Vince Young still has to prove himself as far as him being able to lead a team. All those things that happened in Tennessee with him, you know, throwing his pads in the stands, him walking away from the team, that whole ordeal about 2 or 3 years ago with the him disappearing for about 12 hours, and Jeff Fisher almost basically having to track him down. And that stuff that you just can't forget. And there are a number of question marks with Vince Young. Now, again, he's in a great situation. He's in a great situation. You know, he's the foster child going to the rich home. He's going to have his own room. He's going to have all the toys. He's going, you know, he's not going to want a need for anything. He's going to have great coaches, great coaching. The Eagles have, you look at what the Eagles have done with quarterbacks over the past 2 or 3 years. So he, like, if he cannot parlay this into a starting quarterback role, not so much with the Eagles, but with another team in this 1 year, because Vic's going to miss some games. I mean, Vic will miss at least 2 games. Because of the style play, Vince Young will get a chance to play. Then Vince Young, if he cannot do it with the Eagles, then to me, Vince Young's career is over. So he's going to have a 1-year audition to get himself together, so that he can show what he is all about, and that he could be a legit starting quarterback in the NFL. Forget about Pro Bowl player. Forget about great quarterback. He is not as talented as everybody's making him out to be. I mean, his throwing mechanics, him in a pro style offense, his skill—he just has not developed his skills the way that you should come into this league. He hasn't gotten better. But hopefully, the Eagles can change that over the course of this 1 year. We'll see what happens. We're going to change it. We're going to turn the page a bit. Talk about some baseball. We'll get back to the NFL. We'll talk about winners and losers. We'll also have the Redskins report, talk about their free agent signings, and talk about why Mike Shanahan is trying to pull the wool over your heads. I'll talk about that. I have a rant. You have to stay tuned for that. React quotes. A lot to do on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Surreal Quinn taking you to 12 o'clock on this special 90-minute edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. As always, 347-215-6180. Talk some baseball here as the trade deadline is fast approaching. Tomorrow it'll be up. The non-waiver trade deadline will be up tomorrow at 4 p.m. Of course, two big trades by contending teams have been completed in the last few days, in the last couple of days. First, you had the Carlos Beltran to San Francisco. Carlos Beltran to San Francisco. Then the Philadelphia Phillies tried to match the Giants by getting Hunter Pence from Houston for some prospects. Giants give up one pitching prospect, and these are the two teams to beat in the National League, and these are two of the teams that have a legitimate chance of winning a World Championship. After the Giants made the move to get Beltran, it was evident that the Phillies were going to make a move. They didn't. I'm not so sure that they had to make a move, but I get the sense that had Beltran, let's say, you know, went to the American League, that I don't think the Phillies would have made this move. To be honest with you, I think this move was made almost in direct reaction to what the Giants did. Giants had just taken 2 out of 3 from the Phillies, which means almost nothing about, which means basically nothing, you know, come playoff time. I mean, remember, you know, playoffs is a different ordeal. They did not have to face Cole Hamels. It was a very good series. Didn't have to face Cole Hamels or, not Cole Hamels. Didn't have to face Roy Halladay or Cliff Lee in the series. But, you know, the Giants sending a little subtle message to the Phillies, you know, after beating them last year in the playoffs, that, hey, we're still the champs. You still have to come through us if you want to get to the World Series. Unlike the Hunter Pence move, which I think is just kind of like some insurance for Philadelphia, I thought the Giants had to make the move to get Beltran. You know, Beltran has played great this year for the Mets. If you're the Mets, you had to make the move considering that you were going to lose him for no compensation. With him being a free agent, you weren't even going to receive any draft picks for him. And the Mets will not even receive any draft picks for him from San Francisco. But the Mets had to make this move before they lost him for nothing. Beltran against a switch hitter who is as clutch as it comes in the postseason. The guy has a lifetime 366 batting average in the postseason. You remember what he did in that 2004 postseason with the Astros when he had eight home runs in that postseason. Hit 3 home runs in the series against St. Louis. Everybody remembers that strike 3 he took from Adam Wainwright in Game 7 of the NLCS back in 2006. Well, yeah, that, you know, it happens. Guys strike out big spots in the playoffs. He had 3 home runs in that particular series, so let's not forget about that. You know, everybody wants to point to that. That called 3 strike that he took as he left the bat on his shoulders. Beltran is a clutch player. You think about some of the pressure that he's thrived under, you know, playing in New York, playing in the postseason a couple of times, playing for a contract that particular year in 2004. And when he's been healthy, he's put up big-time seasons for the Mets. The problem he had in his last couple of years with the Mets was staying on the field. Which leads me to this. I saw this stat. I heard this a couple of days ago, and if you're a Mets fan, this absolutely makes you sick. As the Mets right now, the Mets are playing great baseball, by the way, having won 5 straight. David Wright has been hot. The pitching has been pretty good. So Mets are 4 games over .500 after sweeping, you know, last night they win again last night, and they sweep the Cincinnati Reds for the first time ever in the four-game series in Cincinnati. But when Reyes, Wright, and Beltran were healthy and in the lineup at the same time, the Mets had a .550 winning percentage. That, as a Mets fan, has to annoy the hell out of you. Because you're thinking to yourself, what could have been? You know, what could have been? I mean, that lineup with those three guys in there was dynamic. You see what David Wright can be when he's healthy. He's played great since coming back from off the DL. So Mets fans are always, you know, had that to think about moving forward now that Carlos Beltran has moved on, and you know, possibly Jose Reyes moving on in the offseason. I mean, David Wright could be the last one remaining out of that trio, which, you know, Mets fans thought could lead them to a championship. I mean, I'm sure in 2006, you know, as a Mets fan, I thought the Mets were going to win the World Series out of that group. Yovaldo Jimenez trade talk starting to heat up a little bit more as, Detroit is out of the mix. Boston has come out of nowhere, so to speak, and kind of got interested in Jimenez. Of course, you know, nothing concrete as of right now, but I'll tell you this. If you're the New York Yankees, you cannot sit back and allow the Boston Red Sox to get Yovaldo Jimenez. The Yankees need a pitcher anyway. The Yankees need that number two. Right now, the only guy that you trust in a postseason series, in a big spot, is CeCe Sabathia, who is having off the chart season, 15-5 this year. You know, has been spectacular. That's it. You don't trust Hughes. You don't trust Burnett. You know, I know Garcia and Colon have pitched well. Bartolo Colon pitched well, but in the postseason against a lineup in Texas or a Boston Red Sox lineup, you know, they don't trust any of those guys. So to me, I don't understand why the Yankees are not more in the talks with, are not putting pressure, more involved with trying to acquire Jimenez. Now, supposedly they have these pitchers that are untouchable, and to me, I've always believed that prospects are the most overrated commodities, maybe in all of baseball. From the standpoint that, you know, when they make these trades, most of these guys do not pan out to becoming what the organization, you know, thinks they're going to become, or tries to sell them to other teams as trade chips. I mean, every organization to a certain extent overrates their prospects. You're trying to make trades. You know, you're not going to say that, hey, this guy can play, or this guy can do this, this guy can do that. I understand that, but to say that you're not willing to give up a pitcher, you know, a couple pitchers from your farm system for a guy who is 27 years old, who has a great contract in his own right, and a guy who you clearly can afford to re-sign and would give an extension in a heartbeat, makes no sense to me. Jimenez is a proven commodity. I mean, I've seen this guy, you know, last year, over the course of last year, looked like the best pitcher in baseball. He is a legit number one starter. Do those grow on trees? No. You're not getting Felix Hernandez from Seattle. You can date, if the Yankees were willing to part with a couple of those pitches, they can get Jimenez. It's just that simple. Can you imagine Jimenez on the same staff with John Lester, Josh Beckett, and Clay Buchholz? Lackey as the fifth starter? I mean, you cannot allow it to happen if you're the New York Yankees. So we'll see what happens with that. And also, the interest in Jimenez also might tell you something that you might not like if you're a Boston fan in terms of, you know, how healthy is Clay Buchholz? You know, is he coming back anytime soon? So that that could be, you know, Jimenez could be some Clay, could be Clay Buchholz insurance if the Red Sox indeed do pull the trigger on that move. But regardless of what the Red Sox are going to do, Yankees should go out there and get Jimenez. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we will talk about, we'll get back to football, and we will talk about the Redskins moves and talk about the state of the Redskins entering as training camp opens. Talk about them. Are they better? Are they worse? We'll talk about that and much, much more. Also, the winners and losers of free agency. We'll get to that. React quotes, and we will answer the poll question as well. Still a lot to do on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Surreal Quinn. 22 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. We'll be right back. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. Surreal Quinn on your dial as we discuss the world of sports, a big, big NFL heavy show. As you know, now it feels like football is completely back. You know, with the free agency, guys getting cut, you know, trades, training camps opening up. Quarterback battles. Now, you know, football, you know, yeah, I mean, no more talks and labor agreements and hearing from every different sports lawyer in America. And now it just feels like football. If you are a fan of the NFL, and certainly September 8th, Saints, Packers cannot come soon enough as we head towards another season in the league where no contract is guaranteed. Washington Redskins, of course, made a number of moves this past week as far as signing free agents. If you're a Washington Redskins fan, you certainly have to like the direction they're going in as far as not making that over-the-top splash that they've grown accustomed to making. Obviously, they were not good at it as far as some of the guys that they've chosen to sign over the course of the last, you know, 10 years, and in particular the Daniel Snyder era. They addressed some needs defensively. There's no question getting a guy like Barry Cofield, and a guy like Barry Cofield and Stephen Bowen for that defensive line, for the 3-4. They still need a quarterback. Rodgers is still has not been signed, and I should seriously doubt that they would even think about re-signing him. Still need a quarterback. Still need a. You would like to still see them get another linebacker, but pretty much I would say that their defensive line is pretty much set for the most part. I like the Stephen Bowen. Cofield moves as it compares to, say, Colin Jenkins. Remember, Colin Jenkins is 30 years old. Both Bowen and Cofield are 27. So from that standpoint, I like them. Like those particular moves, they re-signed Santana Moss. They pick up Dante Stallworth. They also signed Josh Wilson as a cornerback. Their biggest needs right now, and they still have a ton of players to fill out before they're done this. I mean, this is just the beginning for them. Their biggest needs right now are still in the offensive line. I understand they signed Chris Chester, a guard who started for the Ravens last season, but you know they need a center. They need a right tackle. They need a left tackle. I don't think they're going to resign Jamal Brown. So there's still some holes on the offensive line. They have to shore up that offensive line. There's no two ways about it. They have to shore up the offensive line. They have to shore up the offensive line going into the season. So for all the good things Redskins have done this week in free agency, I can't help but think about who is going to be taking is going to be under center. And to me, it boggles my mind. You know, there are a list of teams that should be going, that should have went after Kyle Orton. And I would have to say that the Redskins are on that list as well. There's no way to me that you can enter this season, September 11th, with John Beck as your starting quarterback. I don't see, how Mike Shanahan is trying to sell that to his fan base, trying to sell that to how he can. I don't see how Mike Shanahan can sell that to himself. That this guy's a legit start. That this guy's a starting quarterback in the NFL. Hasn't played in 4 years, okay? And to me, all these moves that they're making, they're nice, but they almost are a waste if you don't upgrade the quarterback position, at least to a point to where you can get a legit starting quarterback and a starting quarterback playing for you, right? Playing for you in 2011. You're not going to get a superstar quarterback. We get it. All those guys are re-signed. But they've had an opportunity, whether it be, again, a Kyle Orton, whether it be even a Matt Hasselbeck, to upgrade the position. You would think the Redskins have a Pro Bowl quarterback. There's just no doubt that John Beck is the guy. And John Beck, please, I'm tired of hearing from John Beck. He's talking about he wants all the reps. And listen, John, you haven't played in 4 years. Pipe down here. I'm tired of hearing from him. He shouldn't come out and make any statements unless he's asked a question. The media comes out and asks questions is one thing, but don't come out making quotes and statements. Okay, we get it. We get it that you want to be the starting quarterback of the Washington Redskins or in a starting quarterback in the NFL. What quarterback playing in the NFL doesn't want to start? I mean, let's be realistic. And John Riggins, who, former Redskin great, and who, let's just say, there's no love lost between he and the Redskin organization right now. I thought Riggins made a very good point earlier in the week saying that he thought that Beck was trying too hard by showing up to camp. Shows up to camp on Monday at Redskins Park when the lockout ends. He gets there, first one there, and of course does not get let in by security because they didn't know who the hell he was, which is not a surprise. But again, Riggins thought there was some phoniness to that, and I think he could be right. Is this who Beck is, or is he just trying to put on this facade as I'm the hardest working guy on the team, and I eat, sleep, drink football. Please, I've already had enough of John Beck. I've already had enough of him. But again, it is an insult to any Redskin fan in the D.C. area or in the country for Mike Shanahan to try to sell them, us, on John Beck being the starting quarterback. If you were in love with John Beck so much, why didn't he start the last three games of the 2010 season? You knew what Rex Grossman was. Everybody knows what Rex Grossman is. You didn't know what John Beck was. So again, the Redskins talk about how much they're in love, basically in love with Beck, and his work ethic and this and that. Why was he not starting last year? I mean, and that's the scary thing. That's why you can't get too encouraged by the moves the Redskins have made, because their quarterback situation is an absolute disaster. They have no idea about what they're going to do about their quarterback situation moving from here into the future. Right now they're just throwing darts. Just throwing darts right now. As far as the Albert Haynesworth, Donald McNabb eras, which came to an end this past week, again, those two moves will be two signature moves that, unfortunately, until the Redskins win, will stick with the franchise for a long time, and rightfully so, and leave a sour taste in the mouths of anybody that follows the Washington Redskins. You basically set yourself back with the Donovan McNabb situation, which was much worse because, you can't miss on a quarterback. I mean, give up the second-round pick, and now you don't have a quarterback. Redskins did not, picking up Kellen Clemens. I mean, give me a break, as the, possible third string. So, the Redskins to, get a six-round pick for him. I didn't even care about what compensation the Redskins got for Donovan McNabb. He just had to be off the team. Same thing for Albert Haynesworth, $41 million. $31 million down the drain. You could have signed that particular season, that was 2009 offseason, could have signed five or six free agents or filled. You could have basically bought an offensive line for what you gave Albert Haynesworth. But again, I'm glad he's out. Not only is he out of division, he's out of conference. New England can have him, fifth round pick. It could have been a 20th round pick for our kid. He just had to be off the team. That is the positive, the one positive coming into this training camp, that the Redskins don't have to deal with a McNabb or Albert Haynesworth questions, that those two are off the team. But they basically, again, those two players will be in, and Redskins, will leave a very bad taste in the mouths of the Washington Redskins for much different reasons. Shanahan, the whole Shanahan, Kyle, Mike Shanahan, Don McNabb, that whole thing and how that went wrong, and just Albert Haynesworth in general. Unfortunately, Shanahan had to inherit him, because that was a Daniel Snyder signing, per se. And, this is one of those things that, you cannot miss on a quarterback, and it's a reason why you don't go crazy with free agency, overpaying these guys who are not on your team. So we'll see what happens with the Redskins' defense moving forward, and without having to worry about deal with the distraction of one Albert Haynesworth. And again, the quarterback situation for the Washington Redskins is one that was scary, that is just scary right now if you're a fan of that team. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk about the winners and losers of free agency, and we also get to react quotes before the show is out. Still, 347-215-6180 is a call number. Still a lot to do on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. 35 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. We'll be right back. Thank you. back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning with him called Cyril Quinn. As we discuss the world of sports, a NFL-heavy program, as we've delved into free agency big time, we're going to have winners and losers of free agency. We'll begin with the winners, and obviously number one at the top of the list are the Philadelphia Eagles. First, getting rid of Kevin Cobb and getting a second-round pick in Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie to help shore up the secondary. Cromartie has had a tendency of being inconsistent. He was a Pro Bowl in 2009, did not play well last year, but if they can get his best, he is a legit top 10 quarterback in the league without question, one of the fastest quarterbacks in the league, and has a chance to have a big year for the Eagles. And of course, last night they land the biggest fish in the free agent pond, one Nnamdi Asumah, which I can't stand trying to pronounce this guy's last name. Asumah, who was the number one free agent, you know, prospect out there, a guy who is considered to be by many at worst the second best quarterback in the league. You certainly can make a case that he is the best quarterback in football. Only been thrown at 92 times over the course of the last four years. As he played with the Oakland, spent his entire career with the Oakland Raiders. 30 years old. I mean, he's 30 years old. But if you're the Eagles, the time is absolutely right now. They, you know, get themselves again a big time secondary. You know, who knows what they do with Asante Samuel? We'll see what happens with that. But even if they trade Samuel, that's still with Asumah and Kamari Rogers. That still is the best. That still is the best quarterback duo in football without question. Jets getting San Antonio Holmes. I thought this was a must signing for the Jets. San Antonio Holmes is a legit top 10, top 15 receiver in the league. Holmes clearly was the Jets' best receiver. You cannot lose him. You cannot lose him and be left with possibly, say, a Braylon Edwards. Now the Jets can still go out there and get another receiver with the money that they were probably going to give Asamoah had they been able to sign him. But they are clearly winners with re-signing Santonio Holmes. I don't know what all the big fuss is that the fact that the Jets did not sign Asamoah. They did not have. I mean, to me, you have the best. You have what may consider to be the best quarterback in the league in Darrelle Revis. You don't need two Hall of Fame quarterbacks starting opposite each other. I mean, to me, Asamoah would have been a luxury, not a necessity. Now the Jets can have money to where they can address needs on their defensive line in terms of their pass rush, and they also have they can still sign another cornerback if they want to. They can go out there and get a Carlos Rogers. They can re-sign Cromartie if they want to. And not have to spend a lot of money doing it. So the Jets are still. I mean, I definitely don't get people knocking the Jets for Asamoah going to the Eagles. That's to me just borderline insane. Tennessee also to me was a big winner, landing probably the best free agent quarterback on the market. In terms of Matt Hasselbeck, I think will have a very good year with Tennessee. Fisher, you know, Jeff Fisher gets what he can out of his quarterbacks. Again, Vision was to me is uncoachable. I'm not even going to count him. But for the most part, Jeff Fisher. That organization, Jeff Fisher's not there anymore. But that organization has done pretty well with quarterbacks and with the kind of foundation that they're going to have around a Matt Hasselbeck. Matt Hasselbeck with the offensive line, Chris Johnson with their defensive line. Again, that is a perfect heat. At worst, Matt Hasselbeck could be a stopgap for the next quarterback that Tennessee has in mind, whether they draft him, I'm sure that they will draft a quarterback or where they get a quarterback in free agency via free agency next year or via trade. Hasselbeck buys him at least 2 years to get a quarterback. So to me, that was a very good move, and I can see Tennessee being a possible sleeper to get to the playoffs. Do not overlook the Titans. don't overlook the Titans coming into this season. So to me, those are your winners as far as free agency. And also, of course, I have to mention the New England Patriots. New England Patriots do what they do. You almost forget about them because they're that good as far as the moves that they make. They trade and get Chad Ochocinco basically for nothing, and they give away a fifth-round pick for Albert Haynesworth. Everybody, wants to take shots at the Haynesworth move, and wonder can Bill Belichick motivate him. Remember, he coached Lawrence Taylor, so it's not new for him dealing with that kind of personality. And I would say that coaching Lawrence Taylor was probably every bit as hard as trying to coach Albert Haynesworth from the standpoint of the stuff that Lawrence Taylor did off the field. Now, of course, Lawrence Taylor, once he got off on the field, was an absolute, was a beast. But, right now you're going to find an Albert Haynesworth that's going to be looking to prove that, what happened in Washington was an aberration. That his contract is a very realistic contract. I believe 2 years, $12 million. So he's going to be playing for some, with an incentive-laden contract. And, listen, they just released Ty Warren, which makes Haynesworth that much more important. They still have Vince Wilfork on that defensive line. So we'll see what the Patriots do. They're going to make some more moves. So this is just the beginning. But getting those two players for basically a fifth round pick, I mean, you can't. That is bargain basement shopping at its best. Ochocinco will instantly help their wide receiver core. He can still play. Is he the number one that he was 2 or 3 years ago? No. But they don't need him to be a number one receiver. The Patriots have won Super Bowls without having legit number one receivers starting. You have Tom Brady, so they're in good shape as far as that goes. In terms of the losers, the first team that comes to mind, Seattle Seahawks. I don't know what the Seahawks are doing. They signed Sidney Rice and Tavares Jackson, which to me makes absolutely zero sense. Tavares Jackson, again, is a guy who is not a legit starting quarterback in this league. I mean, he's not. I mean, they're guys who are just backups. And Tavares Jackson fits that, he fits the bill of a backup quarterback. He's a guy that can come in, he can, hold the fort down for a game or two or maybe three, and then that's it. You count on Tavares Jackson for an entire season. Good luck with that. And to sign Sidney Rice, Tavares Jackson had the most success with a great running game and with him not being asked to make a lot of plays downfield. That's not his strength. So, if Seattle is going to sign Tavares Jackson, which obviously to me is an insane thing to do, build up your running attack, build up your offensive line, and go from there. Now, I know they signed Robert Gallery, which was a pretty good signing for what the money they gave him, and he was a bust in Oakland. I mean, let's be honest with that. But maybe he will be rejuvenated coming over, in a new environment, and out of the Raiders. We'll see. But the Sidney Rice deal, I mean, giving Sidney Rice $43 million off 1 year, I mean, he had one good year, and last year he's coming off an injury. So I don't fully understand the direction that Seattle's going in. Another loser to me was clearly the Carolina Panthers. Carolina, yeah, they re-signed their whole free agents. The problem is nobody else was willing to give them the kind of money that the Carolina was going to dish out. D'Angelo Williams, Charles Johnson, Thomas Davis. Okay, Charles Johnson, pass rushing, defensive end, give him $76 million. All right, $76 million off one season. D'Angelo Williams has missed 13 games in the last two years, including the last nine of the 2010 season. You give him $43 million. Thomas Davis didn't even play last season, and you sign him to a deal. I just don't get what Carolina is trying to do. I mean, you keep hearing, oh yeah, they had, you know, Carolina has talent. They have talent. Okay, really? Because the team I saw last year was the worst team in the NFL. And had, you know, they had the number one pick in the draft. But maybe I was watching a different game. So again, I don't get at all what either one of these teams are doing. I don't get the philosophy. I don't get. There's no logic behind any of the moves that are made by Carolina or Seattle at all. And certainly don't be surprised if both of them are in the Andrew Luck. Forget about Carolina, but Seattle certainly will be in the Andrew Luck sweepstakes as a team who could possibly finish with the worst record in football. When we return, we'll have React quotes, and we will answer those poll questions. We'll answer that the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call poll question of the morning. We'll be right back on this next edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. Back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, 347-215-6180. The React quote of the morning is, I can honestly say that I leave with full confidence knowing I have done nothing wrong. That comes from former North Carolina Tar Heel coach, head football coach Butch Davis, who was fired this past week. The timing, him being fired, is no shock. The timing of it definitely is shocking to people who followed this. Davis, you know, probably should have been fired, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. The only reason I could think of for them not firing him sooner was the fact that maybe they, you know, used him as far as them getting recruits for this year. I mean, that's the only thing I can think of, because other than that, it makes zero sense for them to fire him basically a week before, before North Carolina starts practicing and getting ready for the upcoming season, which is, you know, college football season is right around the corner. I mean, it was evident that Davis had no control over the program in terms of what was going on with his recruits and with guys, you know, taking trips to Miami, and it was, you know, one thing after another. Now, he never got tied into anything as far as the NCAA coming after him. Never, his name was not on any violation whatsoever. But the bottom line is, he is, as a head coach, this is his program. This is his program. And then, you know, you see a day later, the athletic director, you know, resigned. So it's a big mess at North Carolina. I mean, it seems to me that they almost don't even care about football right now. That football program is not a high priority down there. But again, I think Butch Davis is finished as far as the head, being the head coach and at a major football powerhouse. I mean, can he do a lower level? Can he be a head coach in the near future at a lower level Division One? Maybe. But as far as, you know, somebody, as far as somebody in one of these power conferences, one of these BCS conferences, I think Davis' time in the college football is done. Though I would not be surprised if Davis, you know, landed a head assistant coaching job or a position coaching job in the NFL. He knows the NFL very well. You know, coaching the NFL certainly has connections. Don't be surprised in 2012 if Butch Davis is, you know, a defensive line or a linebackers coach somewhere in the NFL. That's where I think he's going to end up because I think his college days are over. You know, the one thing Davis did do for North Carolina is he could recruit, especially defensively. Had that team not had every player known to man suspended last year, they would have been a legit BCS contending team as far as, now I'm not going to go as far as to say national championship, but they would have been right there with Virginia Tech and Florida State competing to go to play in the BCS Bowl. That was a very talented team, you know, that again, lost half their defense, all their great defensive players, because they weren't eligible to play. And look how many of those guys end up going on to the NFL. So, Butch Davis out as North Carolina head coach. Again, a move that doesn't shock anybody, but doesn't shock anybody that it happened, but just when it happened, the timing of it was just horrible. You know, it's similar to, you know, Kurt Rambis being fired a couple weeks ago when G. Price had been fired in April with the Timberwolves. It made zero sense to fire Butch Davis, you know, this week as it compares to, you know, say in January. When we return, we will wrap up the program, final thoughts, and I will answer the poll question of the morning. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, as we approach noon on this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up Call, Cyril Quinn, 347-215-6180. The poll, Saturday morning poll question of the morning was, who is the team to beat in the NFC, Eagles or Packers? I still myself have to lean towards the Packers, because the Packers, and I understand how hard it is to get back to a Super Bowl, let alone repeat. But remember, the Packers lost so many guys to injuries last season. And, you know, they add some of those guys back. You know, Aaron Rodgers in another year as, you know, the starting quarterback. I think Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the sport, myself. If I was starting a team as a draft, you know, I could draft one player, it'd be Aaron Rodgers. And to me, about the Eagles, the question, you know, Eagles have probably on paper the most talent in the league, especially at the skill position. I don't expect this DeSean Jackson thing to, you know, be a, you know, big deal going. He's not going to hold out. He's not going to sit out. He's not going to hold out into the season. So I think this thing will get done before training camp is over. My concern about the Eagles is Michael Vick. Vick did not play well at the end of last season. Now, there's a question whether or not, you know, he just has some bad games, or did the league start catching up on him? And those are major questions, as far as I'm concerned. But again, it's going to be Eagles, Packers. Those, you know, when all these magazines come out, those are going to be your two. One of those two teams is going to be picked to go to the Super Bowl. I don't see anybody else being picked to go to the Super Bowl. You know, you might get a little Saints. But the Philadelphia Eagles are clearly the class of that division of the NFC East, you know, head by far. They're going for it this year. That's what you do. That's what you do with free agency. You either make subtle moves, that nobody really pays attention to, or you make the big splash that you think can put you over the top. That's what you do. Free agency again continues on in the NFL. Watch for these teams to start. Watch out for the teams that didn't make the loud noise this week. The good teams like the Packers, the Steelers, Ravens. Watch those teams now start to kind of pick up on some bargain basement signings and some guys that are still left over that they can get without having to throw a ton of cash to. There's still a number of players who are on the market, whether it be a Randy Moss, a Braylon Edwards, Carlos Rogers, just to name a few, Rocky McIntosh. Still a number of guys on the market who still have some good players. I mean, Ahmad Bradshaw, you have Ronnie Brown. So we'll see what happens with that. But again, look for the good teams, the top organizations now to start to make their move as they've watched all these other teams overpay and spend for these wild contracts. So this is when normally teams like Pittsburgh and Baltimore go to work. Enjoy your week. We will see you next time on the latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake-Up Call. So long.